each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome, and a happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I haven't seen you since...
I haven't seen you since last year.
Father, it's been since last year.
It's been a whole year.
It feels like it was just yesterday.
I tell you, everything's running together. So we had, it was Christmas. Mm-hmm. No, was it
Christmas?
No.
Well, it's still Christmas.
No, it was Holy Family. I'm Holy Family. So confused.
Yes, it's confusing.
So Christmas was a week ago.
Right.
But we had these 2 days back to back. And of course, mm-hmm. we celebrated the feast of the Solemnity of the Holy Mother of God on Monday, and mm-hmm. I didn't tell anybody it was not a holy day of obligation. So,
that's good.
People didn't have to go, but few people came, but it was beautiful. Yeah. So it was another, I hate to use the word marathon of masses, but I was telling some people last night that it's just a good place to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good place to be, but something really, really bothers me, and that's what I want to talk about today and this year, I think. I don't know. It's just something. You know what I do is, so now, by the way, Nick, happy New Year.
Yes.
Happy New Year. It's good to see Nick. But Tony and Christina as well. But, yeah, I don't want to be the pessimist or the negative one here. And this is a new year, so let's, you know, we want to start out on the right foot.
Yes.
And I guess that's a proper thing to say, right? Start out on the right foot.
Yes.
So I don't know. I don't know why so few people go to Mass. That bothers me. Now, I know there are places where churches are full. So I guess I'm going to be a bit transparent here and say, you know, people come here and they say, of course, the church is beautiful, very beautiful. They like the silence. I hope they like what I say or what I do. When I say what I say or what I do, I'm not deviate from the ritual. Mm-hmm. Of the Mass, and of course, as we've gone ad orientem, so we're facing the east, and I'm still trying to assess and evaluate that. I know for myself, I can't go back. I feel like I can't go back. I wrote a whole justification for this. I might even share that because I think that was the message on the Feast of the Holy Family, because we had the Feast of the Holy Family, and then we had the Feast of the Solemnity of the Holy Mother of God, back to back. So I want to perhaps talk about that, and then you wonder, where's this coming from? All right, so we're family, okay?
Right.
We're friends. Maybe
yeah, family.
Whatever. So we're just going to talk about how I feel, and we're going to talk about me, what I'm thinking today. No, because what I do is about an hour before now. What I do in preparation for the radio is. And I've said many, many times, I'm very, very busy because, this is Monday, but it's Tuesday, actually. It seems like Monday because yesterday was Monday and it was a holiday.
Wait,
the first day of the year.
Today is Tuesday.
Today is Tuesday, okay. Yes. So that's where we get confused.
Right.
Because we've been through Like, anyway, just
it's like you don't want it to end.
Well, you don't.
For me,
you don't. But you want it to get better. That's right. The thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And I feel a little bit sad today for some reason. Maybe part of it is Christmas isn't over,
right. Mm-hmm.
But it's over. It's not over, but it's over because the society.
Oh, for
has,
the society. Yes,
exactly. And you feel it. You know, you can't help but feel it. So this whole week is Christmas. We're still in the 12 days of Christmas.
Sure.
I still want to get to the catechesis part of it. Maybe we can do that. But I don't know. I just feel this need to talk about what's going on in my mind and my heart because I need your help. I need your help. Mm-hmm. I want. And in fact, you know what I'm going to do, Christine? I was just thinking this morning. In fact, I just started to do it. I'm going to send messages out to different people that I can via the email because that's the only way that I can address. I don't have everybody's email, and I'm not one for Facebook. Facebook has been great for us. It's been so good for us. I thank God for the young guys who have put that together, namely Wojtek and Andrzej.
Those videos are beautiful, Father.
That's what they say. I've never seen. I haven't seen them. You know, I won't look at them, but.
These are on Facebook?
They're on Facebook,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't have Facebook, so I can't see them.
Well, there's, but, you know,
within
a very, so this is the good thing, so I should maybe focus on the good, but the fact is that the hits, as they call it, right, the hits,
hits
have been within an hour, I guess, somebody told me it was nearly 10,000, is that right?
I would have to go check.
You'd have to go check.
Check, yeah, I have it. I can check on my phone.
That's actually quite good.
Or maybe with a little bit more than. But Andrzej told me that, you know, it's amazing how people respond to that. Hopefully there's.
And actually, yes, when I saw that yesterday, yes, it was yesterday that I saw it. It did have, it went beyond. It said K. What does K mean? More than 1,000?
I think so.
Okay, so it was beyond that.
Yeah, and that was in a short period of time.
That was, it was fast.
So that's a good thing, you know. And maybe, you know, maybe part of the problem is that, because I'm going back to the question, why so few people come to Mass? Because that really pains me. It saddens my heart. I can't tell you how much the sadness I feel when I see so few people. And I should be happy for those who are there, and I am. But I was thinking this morning about that movie Nonsense. Remember, I think it was called Nonsense with... what's her name? She played in the Ghost movie.
Demi Moore?
Whoopi Goldberg, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's Nonsense?
Nonsense or something like that.
What was it, Sister Act?
Sister Act, that's
it. Okay, yeah, okay. Nonsense.
Nonsense is something else. I think that where did I get the Nonsense?
But
it was Sister Act.
Just thinking Nonsense.
Nonsense. It's Sister Act. Anyway, but so in Sister Act, you know, you have this this church, and the priest is he's boring, and the people are kind of dead, you know.
That's not here.
Kind of empty. Well, no. I hope not.
Better not be.
But so they bring in the nun, the actress, Whoopi Goldberg. So they bring her in and into the convent. Of course, those were the days when you had convents and you had nuns. Sad to say, but there aren't a lot of... like in the Bells of St. Mary's when Father O'Malley goes to St. Dominic's and the house mother or the woman who takes care of the house... she talks about Father Flaherty or whoever his name is, that he went away and something to the other, you know, the poor man, she's very Irish, you know, and she says, the poor man, and he said, well, why the poor man? Well, you know, they had to take him away and he went crazy. Bottom line
he
is, he went crazy. he had a nervous breakdown and...
Right.
For what reason? And Father O'Malley is asking, and she says, "Well, it's the nuns, you know, the sisters." She's with the make them Irish, but she was. It was you've never worked around sisters before, Father. You know, they were the problem. Well, it's a beautiful story, and I happened to see it the other day. It was the only movie I saw this time.
I love. It's a beautiful movie.
Yeah, it is a beautiful movie.
Yes,
you know.
It is.
I wish my life were like Father O'Malley's, and I could just kind of skip along and sing and you know, make everybody happy. And but anyway, our life is a little bit different. We're living in a different reality, and it wasn't. That was, of course, it's a movie, so
yeah.
It's
a fantasy. Like
there's a certain truth. Well, there's a lot of truth in the sense that the nuns, they were great, you know. And what's her name? Ingrid Bergman.
Ingrid Bergman.
I think she played the Mother Superior.
Yes.
But they. They had to sell their parking lot to this because they needed the money. The church was somewhat dilapidated. The school was dilapidated. School was. Mm-hmm. So O'Malley was sent there to eventually encourage them, close down the school, that they moved to St. Matthew's down the few blocks away or whatever, whatever. So, but the sisters are the old-fashioned nuns, you know.
The old school.
Old school, you know, deep faith and praying that, you know.
Nonsense.
They know that proper. So he's building a factory or some kind of a office, this big office building.
Whatever.
I think it dates back to the 1940s.
Yeah.
And so the sisters believe that is being built for them. That's going to be the new school, right? That's the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so Father O'Malley comes thinking he's going to close the school. The sisters evidently were a pain in the neck to the other pastor, who ended up going crazier, had a nervous breakdown. But anyway, to make a long story short, it's a beautiful, beautiful movie, and it takes you back to another era, another time. But the sisters, in fact, their prayers are answered, and the old man who owns the building, who's building this building, it's really quite. It's just a great movie, but he. He eventually gives
the building to
the sisters, and that was really at the through the prayers of the sisters, but also the instrument of Father O'Malley, who kind of put in his heart. Well, the sisters did it as well, but anyway, so that's I'm deviating as I do. So from that to the Sister Act. So the sisters are there, and of course, as I say, the church is empty and. The priest is boring, and
the choir is not.
The choir is everything.
The choir
whatever. So this new sister comes in, this young sister, and she whips up the sisters, and she changes the whole format into doing pop rock or something like that. They take all the religious songs and they make them very upbeat, and you know, where people are swaying and applauding and.
So
and
they make it a show, basically.
Well, yes,
it's pretty much a show.
That's the bottom line, you know. And then, of course, all of a sudden, everybody's coming back to church, and you see this packed church, and everybody is, you know. Now they're there for a show. So I'm thinking, you know, well, maybe I need to get a Whoopi Goldberg to come. The point is, I'm not a showman, and. If you're still with me here, so I happen to see, first of all, I'm looking into our church and I see so few people, but the people there I love very much and they're very faithful. And of course, everybody that comes, they you know, visitors and all that, or people who come for the first time, they tell me, you know, this is so beautiful and I'm going to be back, I'm going to make this my parish. And of course, they don't come back and they don't make it to parish. Well, I understand because people live
far
away and they've got their, and it's just, you know, we've good intentions. But the commentary I get for the most part is very positive, very positive. Now, there's a couple of people who are very negative and always, they're taking people off to the side and they're criticizing this or that or whatever. And we just have to, they're there to keep us humble, I suspect.
They're saint makers.
I was tempted this morning to write a letter to one and say, you know, please, would you just change parishes?
Yeah, please do us a favor.
But, the thing is, are we, and this goes for radio as well, you know, I pray every day, you know, I don't want to get in the way, I don't want to be an impediment, I don't want to be a barrier. To the, I want to be able to say, as St. Paul said, it's not I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me, because that's the reason for my being here. He's the source of my life, and he's the purpose of my life. You know, I might have temptations to, or you know, the grass looks greener on the other side, but because certainly the Lord's way is not an easy way, and I don't mince words on that regard. Mm-hmm. This isn't the Good Field Church. It's the full counsel of God, and when I read the gospel, it's a hard teaching. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is a strong teacher. He's not a timid man. As I've said, I probably said on the radio, he didn't just tiptoe through the tulips. He didn't stay in a garden. The garden he did stay in was a garden where he sweat blood, right? Mm-hmm. Where he gave his fiat, his yes, to do the will of God, which was to lay down his life, atone for our sins. It didn't end so very nice. But eventually it did, because his suffering death is the cause of our salvation. Mm-hmm. And so, having said that, I even more so, I think the older I get, the more I even as I pray now that we're doing ad orientem, which means we're facing the east, or facing everybody's facing in the same direction, offering the sacred mysteries to the Father, I'm so much more aware that this is a holy sacrifice being offered to the Father in gratitude, and we lay down our lives. I lay down my life, and I've always felt that when I say the prayers of consecration, and when Jesus says, "This is my body," I feel that I'm. I don't feel. It's as I know that this is his call to me. Give me yourself. Give me your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit. Lay it down right here. Offer yourself in sacrifice. And so that was the thing I'd asked on Sunday, because you were all there. Tony and Angelica were there for midnight and for the 10 o'clock. I pointed that out to everybody, right? To the other six people that were at church. Christina was not there. She was you were there at the 10, but
I was with my brother.
You were, and you needed to be there. That was a good thing. I was happy for you in that regard.
Yes.
But I said, it was actually the day before on the Feast of the Holy Family. I'm getting confused here. But I said, we make that that offering, we surrender ourselves, we surrender, we offer, we consecrate, we entrust our lives to the Lord. For what purpose? And I kept asking the question, right? What is our mission? Mm-hmm. And the answer is sacrificial love, mm-hmm. sacrificial love. And I really believe that, I believe that. And so that's our, I think that's something I go back to all the time, because that's my reality. And as I read the gospel, I see this as our reality. And the good news of the gospel mm-hmm. is that, we've been saved, and Jesus comes to us in the fragility, we're fragile. We're fragile. We're earthen vessels. We're wounded, sinful people. Now, having said that, I guess that's a sort of countercultural to say that. But my gosh, when you read Scripture and when you listen with attention to the prayers of the Mass, it is all about the sacrifice, sacrificial love that is liberating. It seems like a contradiction, but it's precisely the giving of ourselves, laying down our lives, that is very liberating. Okay, so we're going to take a break. Let me just finish this train of thought. It'll take me about 15 minutes, Nick. I'm sorry. No, I'm just just joking. But I was watching I'm looking at, so few people. No, okay, we can say it's very, very cold outside. It is. A lot of people are on holidays, mm-hmm. It's a holy day, Christmas. They may mm-hmm. be away. But really, it's a trend that has been, it's been on the increase over the last several years, I would say. And but I watched, somebody brought me a video, I don't know, it was YouTube, or it was from the parish. Well, I'm not going to name the parish, mm-hmm. but the church was full, and the priest was out there, and he was kind of, it's kind of joking with the people and mm-hmm. talking to the people, preparing them for the Mass. And then there was, of course, the greet each other time where everybody's, you know, hello, how are you doing? My name is Tony. Your name is, I'm Tony, you know, you're Christina. Mm-hmm. How do you do? Oh, and the priest is going through the whole congregation. And so, you know, there's this, everybody gets to know everybody before the Mass starts. And then as the Mass starts, the choir is right behind the altar, which is really weird, mm-hmm. I think, but the choir is right behind the altar with the guitars and the people in there. And then the other thing is the priest, he was saying, you know, this is the year of social justice and and he goes on and on. And then when I was watching the Mass, he improvised. he changed words. But the people seem to be fine with that. And then I'm sitting here thinking, well, here we're preaching, you know, the good news, which is sacrificial love. And it's not, I find actually social justice, it's a good in and of itself, mm-hmm. but it's just been, because I was formed in that, and it seems to be, I'm going to be constructively critical here, but a cop-out to personal conversion, personal responsibility, and that I have to take a good look at myself and a good look at how I relate to the people around me on a day-to-day basis. It's one thing to get caught up in a cause. That's a good thing. It tends to be very political often. But what about personal conversion, personal responsibility, personal obligation, and, we need each other to help us down this, as Jesus said, a narrow, a difficult path that is about our being purified, transformed, and sanctified. And I just wonder, as I take a break now, is that what keeps people away? I don't know. This is one of the things I want to look into. But I'm not going to, we can't become showmen, and mm-hmm. we can't get into the whole thing of entertainment or, you know, water it down so as to make people feel comfortable. And sometimes we have to feel uncomfortable. I think Jesus made many feel uncomfortable. He certainly was the friend of the poor and the sick because they were very vulnerable and they were broken and they were in a situation where they needed to be lifted up, and he lifted them up, you know. So, I don't know. Just these are my thoughts for the moment. Okay, so I'm having a. We're in the new year, but sure. We'll take a break and we can talk about what our resolutions are for the new year. And this is really. As I leave next week, because I will have surgery next week, and I don't know how long I'm going to be gone, but I think the Lord is preparing me to reflect a lot on this, because I tell you, if I can't bring, and it's got to be God working through me and working through us. It's just not me. Like, I'm sorry, Nick. I'm sorry. I can go on and on. Somebody told me, I said, well, you can really talk, you know. I guess I can. But somebody came. This was one of these things, an interesting thing. This gentleman came to the church last week or the week before. And he came to the sacrament. It was an evening Mass. And, of course, we have a nice group that comes, but it's a huge church, and so people mm-hmm. are all over the place. Yeah. So there looks like a lot of empty space. And I think sometimes there's very few people until communion time comes, and it says, they're coming out of the woodwork. But this guy came up to me afterwards, and he says, you know, he said, you know, you gotta do this. You got to get out there, and you got to be with the people. He said, shut the microphone off so that everybody comes close. Well, he's a recent convert, mm-hmm. or he's had a reawakening of the faith. But, you know, do you understand the reality? And we can talk about that as well. First of all, you know, I said to him, and I was very nice, you know, he was very nice to me, and I was nice to him, but I says, you know, this is the end of the day. I've had a full day. Nobody knows, Christina knows, what I'm doing in the course of a day. Mm-hmm. And it's, as you know, nonstop.
Nonstop.
You know, you don't know what's coming through the door. I've said that many times. You know, the priest, I'm not Father O'Malley. I don't have the time to just kind of walk quietly down the sidewalk and whistle and jump the fences and jump the and play baseball with the kids in the street and all that kind of stuff. It would be nice, but that's not my reality. Or walk down the street with his breviary and pray. Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, I just leave it at that. But I said, you know, I would love to have the strength, and I'm a people person. I love people.
Yes.
I'm a people. That's why I look forward to being alone at the end of the day. Celibacy is a great gift in that regard, you know, so I can, you know, because I have that end of the day is a certain quiet intimacy I have with God, and I can go to the chapel, but I'm with a people. I'm very accessible, I think. But if I had to go out and, you know, greet everybody and talk to everybody and all that, I would truly burn out. I used to do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I'm in this, the busier I get. And I told him, I said, it's the end of the day. I said, not only for myself, but I said, for a lot of these people, they're not here to socialize. They're here because they want to put things in perspective. They're bringing the struggles of their day. They're bringing whatever they are. But I said, that's for you. I said, you people have to talk to each other. And it may just, you know, let's not exaggerate it, but as people are leaving, you know, just be kind and just say, hi, how you doing? And, you know, what's your name or whatever. But we're not going to do that in the course of the Mass. We're not going to, you know, but this is, as you're leaving, as you're going, you know, this is a time to at least acknowledge each other. But I say, you know, it's not just it's interesting. People say we're in the time of the laity, but there's still this pressure on the priest to do everything. You can't do everything.
Mm.
It's humanly impossible. I mean, Jesus, there was a limit too. He had to go away. He had to go to the mountain, into the desert, into the wilderness. In Mark's gospel, God bless him. God bless God, right? God bless him. God bless God. But he's always trying to get away from the crowd because he's drained, mm-hmm. completely drained. This is a hard time. It's a difficult time. It's a beautiful time, but it's a hard time. Mm-hmm. Today's a hard day because I just feel like maybe, you know, I'm not where I should be, and maybe, you know, somebody else can do something I can't do. But I have a mission, and I have a vision, and I've been sharing it for years here at St. Stanislaus Kostka, and I don't know that people pick up on it. I think they hear it, and they say, yeah, this is great, but what are we going to do mm-hmm. to make it a reality? And it is a reality to a large extent, but to another extent, it's we've got a long way to go. So I guess I'm admitting, as we go into the new year, that remembering again that we do have rough edges, that I need to grow, I need to deepen my faith, I need to be more purified, and the Lord is indeed, he's got his way of purging me. But I don't know. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and maybe we can talk about this. You know, lift me up out of this this place, which isn't that bad. But I mean, I just don't want to. Anyway, I'm rambling now. We'll take a break. All right. Please don't go away. Stay with us. We will resurrect ourselves. I will myself. I hope. Let the Lord do it. Stay with us. Don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We are honored to have Bishop Joseph Perry guest host Winds of Change this Thursday, February 1st at noon on AM 750 WNDZ. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s. This historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. And I hope you're back. I hope you're still out there listening. I hope somebody's out there. I know Christina, and because you're a captive audience, you guys can't go.
We can't leave.
Because I locked the door.
Yeah.
They can't get out.
We're stuck.
You know?
No.
No, but, you know, I spoke to somebody this morning. Now, there's this a focus going on in Chicago. It's a young group of people. Mm-hmm. By the way, there were several. Did you see those? Several young women.
Sitting
oh, yeah,
the
I
front.
Did see that.
Yes.
And I wondered where they were from, so... let's talk about the positive stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they were young. I mean, they were in their 20s, I would say. And there must have been eight to 10 of them. And I wondered, you know, who they were. But, of course, after the Mass, I'm going right into the Spanish Mass. Somebody had caught me and we were dealing with something else. And somebody came in and said, these women are from... Or these women are here from Orlando, and they want to see you. And I thought, oh, so they're from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out there, and no, they weren't from Florida. They were from Ireland.
Wow.
From Ireland, but they're here for the focus. This is thousands of young people from all over the world are gathering here in Chicago right now. It starts today, and or it may have started already, but the conferences and all that begin today. This is very positive. This is a good thing. So, let's redeem ourselves, you know. Forget me and look at them. These are the young people, you know, they've got the faith. And I tell you, you know, they were so attentive, so focused. And so what we do is, you know, as people know, as you've been listening to the radio, we do Ad Orientem. I'm going to continue with that, Facing the East. I've got a whole something that I wrote that I spoke about Sunday, and I think it states it very clearly. It's absolutely theologically sound, spiritually sound, and I'm very happy with it. I'm happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to assess, and this is where I'm going to reach out and find out how other people view what we're doing now. And I've added the Latin because I like this connection, and when I pray in Latin, and not the whole Mass, it's just a part of the Eucharistic prayer, just a part of the Eucharistic prayer. We use the Roman canon, so the first Eucharistic prayer. And I personally, I value, I like this sense of connection. I like tradition. I absolutely see the value in this shift of focus as we're facing together, I say the Father entrusting ourselves in union with Christ to the Father. It's our fiat, our yes, you know, to the will of God. Here I am. I lay myself down on the altar, because this is not just a priest, but it's the whole sacred assembly. And this is what I've been trying, we've got to understand, and I'll be dealing with this too, we've got to understand the essence of the Catholic liturgy. Because this other video I saw of this parish, it's I couldn't celebrate the Mass that way. Mm-hmm. It is a show. It does become a form of entertaining, and it's almost, I dare say, it's almost seems to be condescending. Mm-hmm. Like the priest is kind of talking to the congregants or the sacred assembly as if they're, you know, children or below him. That's how I perceive it. I wouldn't want to be, I just wouldn't want to be in that congregation listening to him to speak to me the way he was.
And becomes shallow. Like there's no, it loses the depth of what, why are we there? What is happening on the altar?
I think so, and absolutely, I absolutely think so. But now to go back to these young people, so so Jorge came in and he says, you know, this group is here from Orlando. So I went out there, no, they're from Ireland, and when I went out there, they were praying before the Divine Mercy. But I knew during the Mass they were very attentive, you know, and I was tired. You know, that was after the midnight, which was not going to go into the midnight. I was very, very tired during the midnight, only because after the 11:30 Mass, I had, I forget how many Masses in the morning, what, the four Masses in the morning, and then I had another one at 5:30, but from after the 11:30 to 5:30, I was purging my room, cleaning on Sunday, and once I got started, I couldn't stop, and so I stopped right as I went into the 5:30. By the time I got to midnight, I was really tired. And then we start the next day at 7:30 with the Masses. And so afterwards I went and I said, welcome to St. Stan's, where are you from? And they said they were from Ireland. And I said, oh, what part of Ireland? Because I know Ireland. And they were from all parts, I think each one was from a different county in Ireland. And they said, we're so happy we came. I said, well, how'd you end up coming to St. Stan's? Well, there was another woman who was there. Who you met this morning. She's the one who came this morning. But she was from the United States, and so she said, you know, the Polish churches tend to be very beautiful, and so they were debating whether to go. They wanted to go to a Latin Mass for some reason, but they decided not to come here, rather. And they just said it was beautiful because they said you had Latin in the Mass, and it was just so beautiful. They said they liked it. And they just said they loved the Ad Orientem. Mm-hmm. They said they loved it. But these are young people who are deeply, deeply converted, if I can use the word converted, to the Holy Eucharist. And one of them, I spoke to her this morning, got her whole story, unbelievable story. Her father was a minister, pastor of a Protestant church. She thought she could never become a Catholic, but she instead became Episcopalian. And she just couldn't even thought about being a priest or priestess. But she said it just fundamentally, she said, deep down, I just knew this wasn't right. And so she began to investigate the Catholic faith, and she said it just opened her up to, as I say, the mystical body, this living tradition, this great freedom and this great history, especially seen through the lives of the saints. And so she converted to Catholicism. She became a Catholic. But the Eucharist was, it was Christ revealing himself through the Eucharist to her that really is what pushed her over the fence into the Catholic faith. So the point I guess I'm making is, you know, this is the positive thing is there are these thousands of people. I want to, you know, for some reason I want to say 60,000 young people are gathering. I don't know where I get that number. That's a lot of young people from all over the world gathering here for this week for these conferences and for prayer. That's a beautiful sign, a beautiful sign of hope. But they tend to, they would appreciate what we're trying to do here. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they would find Because I think people, young people, who find themselves on that quest for God, are looking for truth. They don't want the fluff. Mm-hmm. They don't want superficial preaching or teaching. They don't want the good feel kind of religion. They're not there to, you know, be whatever. They're really seriously converted to Christ in his mystical body, the church, the sacraments, the Eucharist, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this is a beautiful sign. This is a beautiful sign. So I guess, you know, I'll tell you what. You guys talk. I've been just rambling, say something to me.
Yeah.
What do you think?
God, give me the words. And that's why I've been kind of silent, just listening to you. And I ask that he gives me the words, because when you talk about sacrificial love, and that really hit me at Mass. And I think you're way too hard on yourself. And I think what most people don't know, and I think we do because we're kind of those people that are always kind of there. Now, I don't mean that in a, oh, we're cliquish and we're part of the in-group. No. I come to Mass, now brace yourself, Father, not for you.
No, sure. I would hope not.
That was a joke. Please, that was a joke.
Okay.
I come to church.
I better not be a joke. No.
I know. I would just want, that's a joke. But again, this is the parish that I come to, and there's no other place I would rather be. And that's in part to what I believe God working through you. Mm-hmm. Okay. I believe that also in God working through the parishioners that I see on a daily basis, Christina, you know, people that are here, you know, I feel that. Okay. So for me, I think about even the whole Mass. I mean, Christmas, the Mass before the Mass. You know, people would look at me and say, well, why are you going to Mass so often? I'm not coming here for you, Father. I mean, again, and I joke again, I'm not coming here for you. I'm coming for my Father in heaven. Yeah. And there's, I know the reason to be here. That's why I get, you know, when I listen to you talk about, oh, what is it I'm doing? What am I not doing? This isn't about a show. This isn't about, you know, Father being energetic this day, but this day he's not. I mean, it's not about that. I think what people, and to lay the real wisdom down on people is this. Like with anything in life, if you don't participate, it will disappear.
This is something
I've learned, because again, I was one of those guys that came and took and never wanted to come back. I mean, it's just that's who I was in life. And believe it or not, the way you started this show today, I am of the part where I understand people. Sometimes you want to be with family. Sometimes church is not the first thing on your mind. But I'm starting to think maybe a little different, because we all have a responsibility to our parish, okay? I feel like Jerry.
Okay.
I'm saying Jerry's seat.
Okay.
But we have a responsibility to our parish. I mean, this isn't about, oh, do I feel good? I'm not happy today. It's too cold. I don't want to go. It's an obligation. And I think when I think about Mass also, this is something I've started doing in the last few years. And it's such a beautiful experience for me. And I feel for you, too, when you think, you look and there's nobody here. How come people don't understand what a beautiful experience this is? You know what? Maybe they never will. Maybe by seeing us as the examples, they will someday. So, again, maybe that's what needs to happen. And I think of the small flock that we are. And I don't like to have a lot of people around, but I can understand how it's important to have people around. But I think about this, and I was just thinking about it as you were talking. When I am here with a few people, I feel like I'm here for God, and God is taking care of me. Now, this is going to be, when there's many people here, I feel odd because I don't feel comfortable. But then I just thought about this. I think what I'm also feeling is I'm letting people be, but then I sit back and want to take care of these people coming to my parish. So that when we have these big events and there's many people here, I just, as I was sitting here listening to you, I was thinking, well, maybe then my part not is to feel that to you, Lord, I'm here, but I'm here to take care of all these guests.
Exactly. Well, I would say, and I've said this often in the letters, mm-hmm. that, you know, anybody who comes through the door, I consider them part of the family, mm-hmm. not guests, but part of the family. This is part of the mystical body of Christ. They belong. To your point, and I think this is a good point, I too, you know, because I like the, in a sense, the monastic, the silence, mm-hmm. the quietness that we can come. Because I say, you know, the Mass is, it's a collective and a communal experience, but it's also very private and very personal. And it would be fine if, and I do trust and I believe, because I knew this when I got sick. And by the way, you know, I'll tell you, and this is the truth, you know, the sickness, cancer isn't so much the suffering for me. The suffering for me is the, well, like what I see this weekend, you know, there's so few people. Exactly. That's what causes me the deeper pain. Mm-hmm. And if I, and this is where I have to trust that we're doing what God wants us to do. Mm-hmm. I can't, as I've said many times, I'm not a magician. I mm-hmm. can't wave a wand and make everybody come to the church. And we are living in a strange time. But the problem is, and you said it, and this, I'm conscious of this, without the people, you can't, it'll disappear.
Mm-hmm. And it's not individual people. Like, I think it's, as I'm sitting here listening, shame on our people that come all the time. You know, but again, maybe not shame, because again, it took me a long time to realize what the Mass really is about. And I know there's many that don't know. That's why another thing that kind of bothers me when you say, you know, people don't like what I say.
Well, I don't say that all the time. I'm just
But I mean, how you're very conscious of the things you do say. And then you have to be conscious, because some people, oh, he talks too much about this, he talks too much about this. I take everything you say as something that needs to be said.
Well, I get, you know, and I just want to say we got to take a final break, mm-hmm. but I don't want to exaggerate, you know, that when I see people walk away,
right.
It does bother me.
Exactly.
And I think it would be like, you know, if your mother, your father, they've prepared a beautiful feast mm-hmm. for Christmas or whatever, and people walk out.
Yeah.
And they walk out in, because they don't like what you said, or they don't like the fact that you used Latin, mm-hmm. or they don't like the fact, you know what?
I understand.
That causes me, I think Father, it's a natural thing.
And those are excuses, mm-hmm. because we are blessed to have all these beautiful churches, and we have the privilege of being able to worship. Where there's other places that people can't, because mm-hmm. they can be killed, or that they travel miles on foot to go to Mass early, and we're over here, we're spoiled, and complaining about petty stuff. That's just spoiledness. Those are excuses.
We have to take a break, Christina. A final break. Our second break, and then we got to.
Sure.
But you know what? We could come back to that when we
get
back. But you're right, and that's really, this is the bottom line. I mm-hmm. think it's the society we live in, radically secular society that has been spoiled society that has characterized Christianity and Catholicism in a very bad way. Mm-hmm. Focusing on the negative, mm-hmm. and not putting attention to the beauty and the wonder and how God is working in and through, I would say, again, an anawim, a little flock,
sure.
but people who do experience conversion, like this woman I spoke to this morning. And anyway, let's take a break. We'll come back and maybe come back to that point and wrap up with that. So, again, don't go away. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We are honored to have Bishop Joseph Perry guest host Winds of Change this Thursday, February 1st at noon on AM 750 WNDZ.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing. Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We're just going to wrap up now. We're, you know, just kind of, well, it's a new year, you know, yeah. so let's wrap up on a
get the griping out of the way.
Well, you know, it's
that's
just,
the griping.
It's you know, this is the thing, I guess. We were just talking about that during the break. It's not, you know, I'm not here to please. I'm not a people pleaser.
Sure.
But I do know that I've got my quirks and my weaknesses, and I know that I can react, and I know that I'm a fighter too. I as a priest, it's very hard because I can't. A lot of times, like even today when I heard something, I wanted to fight.
Yeah.
I mean, I wanted to. I'm not saying I would have done bodily harm to somebody, but I wanted to go and say, you know, and I don't know. You've seen me, Christine. I think, but I don't. I certainly am not a pushover. I mean, I'm very.
You're very patient.
I'm patient.
And very open to
people.
But
there's a point where I just, you know, when that hand goes down on the table, like my father would say, I slam my hand on the table. It's like, or, you know, you for me say, get the chip off.
Get the chip off.
And that's how I felt today. I wanted to immediately just go and, you know, give this. Whatever.
But Father, you know what? It's hard for you because you are a father. You're a spiritual father. You are a father. And it's like, it reminds me of my father when he brought us up in the faith. We came to church. We did Eucharistic adoration, everything. We were very close to the church and to the traditions and the spirituality. It was all there. And, of course, we got older and we go our separate ways and we do our own thing. And so my brothers don't practice the faith. I, for a while, didn't just... Not that I have anything against the church or had any problems. No, it's just... I got distracted.
Right. Like most people.
Most people do get distracted.
Had priority. that's what happens. But I came back, and my father, I'll never forget, he said, what did I do? Where did I go wrong?
Exactly.
It's the same thing. And I said, Dad, you didn't do anything wrong. You did everything. You taught us, gave us the example. You taught us the faith. You and Mom are examples and give testimony. It's just that I told him, we just got stupid. You know, it just happens.
This is a very, very, very good point. And I think that's where sometimes, and this happens to be one of those days where I just say, you know, where have I failed? Mm-hmm. What am I doing wrong?
Yes.
And I know, I'm far from perfect. And I, like I said, I can get defensive and I can be somewhat of a pessimist or whatever. And I try not to let that override, you know, or take control, but it's, we are in a culture that is such, we got to deal with it, and mm-hmm. we've just got to, but you know, okay, so the bottom line is, I can't do or I can't be what I'm not, I can't do what I don't think God wants me to do, and I can't
sure.
all of a sudden decide, well, okay, like we're gonna, let me go find, what's her name again, Whoopi Goldberg. Okay, you know, come in and you know, maybe she can jazz the place up and make it fun and make it, you know. No. We can't do that. That's not.
And that's not a show.
No.
What's happening on the altar? That's again when you go sacrificial love. That's the holy sacrifice of our Lord. What's entertaining about that? It goes beyond that. It's very deep and very mystical.
It's deep. It's very, very deep. And I think this is where we've got to reawaken. And mm-hmm. that's what I'm trying to do, you know, as with this.
I think at this point you've succeeded because there are many of us that feel this way, that know. You know, there's many of us that we don't come here because, well, Father Tony is happy all the time or Father Tony talks really good stuff. But we agree 100% with Father Tony. It's not about that. It's about what happens.
You better agree 100%. Right. I mean,
it happens. It's about what happens on that altar.
Sure. Yeah.
And to be honest, the whole turning, I go by your lead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've not experienced this. I've said this before. I know that there's probably people that, again, they don't like this because of what has happened. But since you've explained it to me, I turn and I see, I feel exactly what you're trying to do. And mm-hmm. I am not one to say, you know, I disagree. It's not how this works.
That's it. We're out of time.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Yeah. You know? So the bottom line is, I think of Jesus mm-hmm. as he was coming to the end of his journey, you know, going to the cross, and he says, you still don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been with me and you still don't get it? And I guess mm-hmm. in many ways, because of the distractions,
yes.
we were a bit blinded maybe mm-hmm. by the mysticism, the mystical, the wonder, the marvel of God
is a difficult
among
time.
Us. Absolutely. Everybody, thanks for being with us. We'll be happier. We're not unhappy by no means.
I feel better, though.
I do, too. Okay, yeah. Thanks for being with us. God bless you, Almighty God. Almighty God bless you. I'm sorry. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Ciao.
Amen.
Ciao, ciao.
Amen.
We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say when right from wrong has become so obscure? It does not take